Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, October 25th. We have an exciting show planned for tonight. We're going to be speaking with Nzinga, new NYC makeup artist. But first, my sister has something she wants to share. Also, just reminding everyone that the call-in number tonight, if you have a comment or a question, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Now I'm going to turn it over to Denise.
Hello, can anybody hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I think it's okay now. I don't know what anybody heard, but I'm getting messages that it's dead air.
Okay.
So hold tight 1 second. Let me just see if they can hear now. If anybody can hear us now, just tweet us and let us know that, yes, you can. Or if you have our personal number, send us a text message if you can hear us. I can finally hear my sister now.
Okay. Do you want to give that another try?
All right. Did you hear my introduction?
Yes, I heard your introduction.
Okay. All right. So maybe it was just you. Okay. All right. Let's why don't you start it over?
Okay, and if anyone who's on the phone line live, if you all could just mute your phones so that we don't get any feedback, because I was getting a lot of I heard a lot of rumbling around, getting a lot of feedback. Okay, a few weeks ago, I read something from the American Salon magazine in reference to Glam Squad, and I know this past week or so, it was a big issue when with everybody, people were feeling a certain kind of way about them working with Temp 2. So basically, I don't really want to touch on a lot of the negativity and a lot of people's opinions. I really want to just touch on who they are and what they do And I will kind of read something that KJ Bennett posted to just kind of clear up a little bit about Glam Squad's relationship with Temptu, and then we'll move on. But basically, in the American Salon magazine, Glam Squad is often referred to as the Uber of beauty. Glam Squad is an on-demand, app-based beauty provider that delivers professional, affordable hair and makeup services in Los Angeles, Miami, and New York to your home, office, or hotel. Currently, the New York location is the only one offering nail services. The former senior stylist at Frederick Sakai, Giovanni Vaccaro, serves as the creative director. In addition to offering personalized one-on-one consultations and a range of signature looks, all stylists and makeup artists are expertly trained and undergo extensive education to further advance their skills. What sets us apart is we offer education, training, and vetting each stylist and makeup artist, expanding on what they already know, said lead stylist Eric McEwen. We make sure to give all of our clients the VIP treatment they deserve. Glam Squad plans to extend its services to other major cities in the near future. Okay, so if you go to their website, they pretty much break it down for you. Simply, you know, how it all works, how they service their clients. Basically, if you have an iPhone, you can download the app, and they prefer that you book your appointments through the app. If you have an iPhone, if you don't have an iPhone, then you can book your appointments through their website through the Book Now page. And pretty much, it's just setting up an account where you just use your email and, you know, you select a password and you go from there. So basically how it works is they fully train their beauty professionals, and these professionals come out and they service you. Okay, you can look on their Book Now page and look at their style menu, which they offer, you know, which lists all the services that they offer. From there, you can select the services that you want. And then from there, they will send you an email to your email address that you signed up your account with, and basically tell you when your appointment is going to be. And basically, when you go in through their website, through the Book Now page, and when you go in to decide which service you're going to use, you also tell them the time, the date, and the location where you want your services to be provided. So simple and as easy as that, okay? I don't know anything about Glam Squad's pricing. I don't know anything about how much Glam Squad, you know, takes from the services. I don't know anything about what the beauty professional gets out of all that. I don't know what their deals are and if they sign contracts or anything like that. I'm not familiar with that. I've been told that they get Glam Squad gets a certain percentage, and you know, the technician takes home a certain percentage, and but I don't want to get into that because I don't want to talk about something that I have absolutely no knowledge of. But, you know, I have heard things, you know, where people say, you know, they're not getting paid that much money. They're not charging that much money for the services. But to each his own, you know. I think that's, you know, that's their prerogative. If they don't want to charge, let's say, $100 for, you know, I don't know, for a makeup service, then that's them. You know, everybody charges the rates that they want to charge, okay? So as I stated before, I think Melissa Street did a Periscope. When everything hit the fan, she did a Periscope on, she talked about the about this whole issue, because people, again, like I said, people were upset about Glam Squad, well, actually Temptu, you know, partnering with Glam Squad, okay? And so basically I made a comment stating that, you know, we all have choice. You know, women or men who are requesting these services, they have a choice. They can choose to book through something like Glam Squad, or they can choose to call somebody that they know or somebody that they were referred to. When people are traveling and they're traveling to places where they don't know certain makeup artists or beauty professionals, they use a service like these apps. And at first I thought, well, maybe people are upset because people were talking about, you know, this brings the freelance industry down, and, you know, and so I'm thinking, well, who are these people? And the more I heard the name, I was like, wait a minute, you know, we reported this on Beauty Talks. And so I was thinking, well, maybe they're just upset because they didn't think about this first. But there are other apps out there on Apple now that do the same thing. You have other startup companies like There's Priv, there's Madison Reed offering the hair services. There's the Style Listed that offers the same types of services. It's the same type of thing. They're all apps. So it couldn't be that. So then just hearing a little bit more about what was going on, KJ Bennett put out a post about the whole relationship between Temptu and Glam Squad. And so he spoke to someone at Temptu, and basically this is what he posted. So he says, okay, I'll just read a little bit of this, but he says, you all know how much I dislike the amplification of misinformation, and this Temptu brouhaha is based in an awful lot of misinformation. I spoke to them today because I wanted to get the facts straight before I went off on some vendetta. I asked hard questions and demanded straight answers, good or bad. I'm satisfied with the responses I received because I can smell BS a mile away. So the facts are these. One, Glam Squad needed to offer airbrush services. They needed to make sure their elite artists were properly trained. They needed to work with expert airbrush educators, so they approached Temptu. Temptu trained 100 Glam Squad artists using the Temptu AirPod system, and they are providing the artists with a pro discount to stock their kits. He says that's all there is. Seriously, that's the whole story. Straight from the horse's mouth. They train the artists. The artists use Temptu airbrush products that they purchase at a pro discount. And it says, bottom line, some company was going to take this opportunity. Could have been Ket, Graftobian, et cetera. And that's absolutely true. It could have been any one of them. It says, we can kick and scream and call foul play, but the truth is, this is business, and I agree. Temptu is not involved with the Glam Squad business model. They're training artists and offering a discount like they always have. Pound, that's all. I agree with KJ. It's just simply business. If Temptu had have turned them down and they had have approached Graftobian or Ket, which one of those companies would not have taken that opportunity? To me, it makes perfect sense. They want airbrush training. They're coming to us for training. Let's give them training. They're paying for the equipment and the product. Why not sell it to them? If we want the industry to uphold certain standards, if we want professionals who are going out there working as freelancers in this business, if we want them to, you know, to be professional so that it doesn't bring us all down, then why not be trained properly? I don't see a problem with it. Like I said, I heard a bunch of negative talk about the prices they were charging and how much they're paying the hair and makeup people and all that they're going through. But I guess when you're going into business with a company like that, to me, you either know what you're getting into. Like, you know, you've asked the questions, hopefully. You know, how much am I getting paid? And you know, I'm hoping you've asked the questions, and I'm hoping you have some type of contract in hand. If not, I hate to say it, but it's your own fault. And if you've going in ahead of time what they're offering you, you know, as far as how much they're going to pay you for each service, and if you don't agree with it, and if they're not going to change it, then don't do the job. But don't complain about it later when you're on some Facebook group and somebody's expressing their opinion, and then all of a sudden you want to bash the company that you're working for. That's not cute. That's not professional. If you have an issue with it, deal with Glam Squad on it. And I know everybody's going to have their own opinion about, you know, what's right, what's wrong. From where I'm sitting and from the information that I'm getting, I don't see anything wrong with it. And that's my beauty news.
First, I think my thoughts on this. First, I think it's an awesome concept. I have clients who travel all across the country, across the world, and especially when they're traveling in this country, they're always hitting me up asking, do you know a makeup artist in Houston? Do you know a makeup artist in Tampa? You know, they're asking if I know makeup artists in different cities. So this, you know, especially when they expand to other cities, would be a great service that's being provided. So I don't have a problem with that at all. And then second, I don't get it. I don't really don't get what the issue is with Temptu working or partnering with them. I don't get it. As a matter of fact, I think it's an awesome idea. If you're going to have hundreds of makeup artists out there providing services, providing airbrush services, make sure they're trained.
Well, if you're going to, and not just that, but if you're going to have people out there doing makeup and hair, make sure they're trained. And that's what it seems like they do. It seems like they train them, and it seems like, according to what they say, it seems like they train them often. I mean, who knows? Like I said, I really don't know. I've never used their services. You know, I haven't downloaded the app, so I don't know what the level of expertise is for their artist. But, you know, if it's working for them, then, you know, great. But I think for people who haven't worked with them before, I don't think we need to comment about, you know, to each his own. People can say what they want to say, but I'm just saying I'm not going to comment about, you know, how much they're charging, how much people are going to, you know, how much people are taking home, just because I may be aware of that type of information. It's not my business. I don't care. It's not me. I'm not working for them.
Right. And honestly, I think I heard you say that the artists don't get paid a lot, and then the services, so the clients aren't paying a lot for the services. Well, I mean, I guess that's
based on what was said from different artists on Periscope. And that's why I'm saying I can't really speak on it, because it's just coming from different people who I don't know who they are. People are really like complaining and really bashing Glam Squad, and I'm just like, why? If you don't work
right
for them, why are you bashing them? You don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
You haven't
that
had that
no
experience.
Right. That makes no sense to me. Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of let everybody know again, once again, since we reported on them before, who they are and how, you know, how the services work, and that's that.
Right.
But it's a little interesting. It's a little interesting because, you know, there are tons of groups on Facebook, and you have makeup artists on all levels that are in these groups. A lot of times, I don't even want to comment to some of the stuff that's being posted, because some of it to me just sounds so ridiculous. It sounds so ridiculous. And not just the Facebook posts, but some of the blog posts. I mean, people are posting these long posts about, you know, this company, this brand. Like, I don't get why it means so much to them, because to me, if you are focused on your own business as a freelancer, then why are you worried about what the next person is doing? You know, sometimes I feel like people think that, you know, they're getting over or they're making all this money. We don't know what they're doing. I mean, of course, they're in L.A., they're in Miami, you know, they're in New York. Maybe they're doing well. I'm sure they're doing well. But have
right
they, you know, have they checked out, have they, you know, criticized some of the other apps that I listed, you know, or maybe those aren't as successful, but they're out there. There are tons of people. There are quite a few people out there that's giving them competition. So let them compete against one another, and you just focus on your freelance business and how you can be better.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Let's bring our guest for tonight on and see what she thinks about what we're speaking on. Hold on 1 second here. Nzinga.
Yes. Can you hear me?
How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Ooh, this is going to be spicy.
So listen, have you heard of Glam Squad in this particular service? And then also, what do you think about what we've said so far?
Wow. First, let me greet you all with a happy Born on Earth Day.
Oh, thank you.
My lovely, lovely twins, what a wonderful day, the day that you all came onto the planet, and now you give us this amazing forum to this platform to speak and to gain knowledge and to grow from. I thank you so much, and I thank your parents.
Oh.
So happy Born on Earth Day.
Thank you.
You know, just I'm so excited. I really am this evening. I've got a lot in my head. I'm also very tired, but, you know, thank you so much for having me on, as always.
Absolutely.
I do have a lot of thoughts. I did hear what you had to say about it. I do know a bit about Glam Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I begin? First, from a business perspective, I think it's great marketing.
Absolutely.
It's great publicity, great marketing on both ends. Temptu, we know they have been in business for quite a long time. And for them, you know, I can't speak for them, but from an outsider's perspective looking in, it's a great marketing strategy for them, because if they train these artists under the Temptu umbrella and they're actually very good, it's a profitable, it's a win-win for them. They can't
right.
lose.
Right.
They can't lose. Neither of them can lose with it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, depending on how it's played. Now, if people are complaining and you know, throwing stones at the glass wall, well, you know, the people who are complaining, are they artists or are they the client?
Right, they're artists, from what I can see.
Well, then that's, honestly, that's really irrelevant.
Right.
That's really irrelevant at the end of the day, because you're not going to affect them with your commentary. Sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's just, you know, that's just how it works. I mean,
yeah.
You know how many times we all have been criticized. So what is your opinion? Your opinions are like bottoms. Everybody's got one.
Right. And, you know, and not just that. Think about, you know, with all of us working in film and television, there's been tons of stuff about what happens on set or what goes on set or something that the director says or does that we don't like.
Mm.
But what do? We
mm-hmm.
keep working.
Yeah. At the end of the day, because the truth is that all of us are in this. You know, at some point when you're in the early stages of your career, all you want to do is be a great painter. So
right.
that's all you do is you paint. Then you get to the next level. Well, you know, I may be able to do it on myself, but can I actually do it on a client? So that's the next level, to try it out on other people. Then
mm-hmm.
the next level is, well, where am I going to go with this? Which direction am I going to go with this? I mean,
mm-hmm.
who am I doing it for? Am I in the department store? Am I in the, you know, am I looking to get into the entertainment business? You know, where am I going to go with this? These are questions that you ask yourself at stage three of your career. Like, what am I going to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the next step is you, are you actually working it and building a reputable clientele and building a good reputation as an artist.
Right.
You know, these things, from what I can see right now, these things are what veteran and professional artists really take issue with. I think
mm-hmm.
that's the real crux of why this backlash
mm-hmm.
is the level of professionalism. Because,
right.
you know, we all have, there were people that came into the industry that were in the industry long before you, Janice, Denise, and I were ever even in existence. These people paved the way for us. They set a standard. Now the next generation comes behind, and then we set a standard, we set a precedent. We start asking and demanding things that didn't even exist for us.
Right.
So, you know, it's about the elevation of the craft. You know, at some point, if you're not elevating the craft itself, not just yourself, because an artist can work solo, most people do usually, and then you hire a team of other makeup artists, but you're representing yourself ultimately. But if you see the bigger picture, it's about the entire industry. That's the bigger picture, not just yourself. Not just yourself. So, you know, I think that's why other artists are taking issue with Glam Squad. I don't know these people personally. No one has approached me. I take issue with it because it's a name that I started a while back in the 90s. You know, when people were snapping their fingers at makeup and hair and calling us makeup and hair, you know, I'm big on respect. So if you come with disrespect for me, Queen and Zynga is going to come back. So if you don't know my name, then I say, well, call us the Glam Squad. And it's something that caught on, you know. So now we're all officially called Glam Squad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but this is a long time ago. But I believe that, you know, we live in a world, the way I see it, we live in a world, it's a pie factory.
Yeah.
It's a bakery. They make cookies, pies, cakes. In other words, there's something for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's work for everyone. Now, how you do your work, yes, we take issue with. Because if you misrepresent the entire craft and the industry, that's like an electrician coming in with no tools or a bad attitude. He gives all electricians a bad name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The concept will think about electricians. You know, like, I know for a fact, this is so crazy, I mean, it's a little bit off the beaten track, but, you know, when I think about plumbers,
mm-hmm.
the first thing I think is plumber's butt. You know what I'm saying? Because they all have, you know, that same situation going on, and they're always late. Do you know what I mean? So as a profession, when I think about plumbers, this is what I think. So if people are hiring makeup artists, what do they think about makeup artists? Like, and I'm not talking about people who work in film and television because there's a certain standard we adhere to. We answer, ultimately, we answer to bigger corporations. You know, the freelancer does not have to answer to a corporation. Do you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So it's very, very different in how we decide to approach things professionally.
That's true.
Mm. I'm sorry, was I rambling? You know,
no,
not
at
me
all.
If I'm like,
not at all. But I'm glad you pointed that out because it's true. Mm. You know, we do answer to, you know, some pretty big people, like
mm-hmm.
you said, some big corporations. I mean, you know, when you think about, you know, Sony, NBC Universal, you know, Lionsgate,
mm-hmm.
NBC, you know, ABC, you know, you think about these huge companies that we, you know, that we, I mean, basically they're our bosses, regardless of who's on set with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're our bosses. And
yes,
and they hold us to a higher standard, and we have to come correct it. There's no way around that.
Mhm. Mhm. You know, and when they say you're here, like, you know, my call time for tomorrow is totally like unreasonable, but it is what it is. You know, my call mm-hmm. time tomorrow is at 5 a.m. So do you think
wow.
I'm going to show up? You know, whenever I feel it, not now, I have to leave my house at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And travel to get to the location, have set up time, and then, you know, prep time, and then go in and do the actual job. You know, but as a freelancer, I mean, technically we all are freelancers, but it's different when you work in film and television because
right.
you do have to answer to larger corporate types of entities. You have paperwork that you sign. We call it the Bible in the industry. Like,
right, exactly.
Like a million pages long with agreements that you have to sign and confidentiality and this, that, and the other. So it's a larger corporation. When you're a freelancer, you're coming in, you know, doing a glam squad kind of job, you know,
mm-hmm.
do they have contracts?
Right.
You know, then are they dealing with celebrities or are they dealing with the 9-to-5 ladies? It's a different mindset altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, but there's bread for everyone.
Right.
There is bread
right.
for everyone.
And, you know, and sometimes I often wonder, and for those of you who are just joining us, this is not necessarily a glam squad conversation. I mean, we were just going to catch up with Nzinga tonight and basically just talk industry talk. So this is a part of that. But, you know, I wonder, though, sometimes if they are servicing some celebrities, and if they are, let's just say their rates are much lower than what most people would charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying. I can understand where makeup artists would be upset that, okay,
yeah.
now you're lowering, you know, the general rate for everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
and
but,
that's the business part of it.
That's the business part of it. But what I guess I would say to that is if you have your own clientele and if you have relationships with certain celebrities, then when they book you, regardless of your rate, they're going to pay your rate regardless of if they can, you know, download the app and book an appointment through Glam Squad and get it for cheaper. Some of them might do that, but they don't know who's going to show up at their door, at their hotel room or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
so when they book you, they know who's coming and they know what you're coming with.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, here's the difference. Here's a major difference to point out. You know, Thumbtack is doing pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can book a makeup artist and a hairstylist. You know, I've gone on just to see what it was, and you have to buy these credits and all this stuff they have going on. But, you know, when you're dealing on the celebrity level,
mm-hmm.
this is not your 9-to-5 individual. The
right.
rules are different, very
right.
different. And here, again, you know, if a celebrity is hiring a makeup artist, they want to deal with a certified professional who has a reputation, who has legitimate tier sheets, not, you know, Instagram action. You know, they have to have a resume and a track record. I you know, maybe there are some celebrities who are booking these kinds of artists, but it's risky because
mm-hmm.
when you come into the realm of dealing with celebrities, you know, they have private lives that they like to keep private.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you're a trained professional, you don't just apply makeup. There are other rules that are applicable, that are
mm-hmm.
unspoken. It's almost like a doctor. You know, it's a Hippocratic oath that the doctor takes, that he
right.
Has extreme confidentiality with his patients. It's the same thing.
Right.
Same thing. So, you know, when you get into the celebrity realm, you know, I don't think that they would necessarily, even if they tried it, they might not go back again.
Right, right.
But I don't know because, you know, it's not something that, you know, I don't know how they do their thing.
Is that again?
And well, and then you also have to deal with, you know, you don't know how discreet people are, especially if you're
exactly.
just meeting them, you know, and when you're dealing with some celebrities, especially when on a personal level where they're not on set anywhere and they're at their hotel rooms, you know, they're going to an event or something and you're going in to do their makeup and you don't know who's in their hotel room. You don't know what
trust
they're doing
is
in their
a
hotel
big
room.
Issue.
It's a big
trust.
Issue. So trust
yeah.
me, I don't think they're going to look at an app and order up a makeup person or a hair person.
No.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No.
Maybe
I don't
Uber,
think so,
yes, but not for their hair and makeup. That's something
yeah.
that it's like, it's a little more personal. It's a little more, I have to have somebody that I know can do the job and that I know, you know, anything that, any secret that I may have that I may reveal, you know, while they're there, I have to know that this person will not say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust is a big issue in this industry, you know, from celebrity clientele to even, you know, colleagues working together. Trust is a huge issue, and confidentiality, respect, a lack of gossip, you know, all of those things are under the umbrella of professionalism, I think.
Right. Right.
Hmm.
So, Isaiah, tell us, what are you working on that you have to be at work at 5 a.m.?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a new project. It's a TV pilot. I'm actually day playing on this, but
okay.
I've got several days that I'm in on, and it's called The Deuce. HBO project.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
Yes,
oh, wait a minute.
It's a period piece.
Let me
oh,
ask
nice.
You, is there yes. a hair person on there named Janice Kenangopoulos?
Yes. She's the department
yes.
head.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gil, when you see her, give her a hug for me, please.
I sure will. I sure will. I'm a big
yes.
hugger, so that's fantastic.
Yes. Give her a hug for me.
I will. I'll see her tomorrow.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, this since we're just industry talking here, let me just ask you this, because you know, you said that for this particular show you were day playing on this show, but you're going to be working
mm-hmm.
a few days this week mm-hmm. on the show. And so
yeah.
coming from, you know, you doing all that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're headed up your own things before, so
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about just kind of knowing your position, knowing your place,
mm.
and kind of staying in your place when you're on set. And I bring that up because on this next show that we're about to do, you know, normally people. You know, always know that my sister and I work together a lot. You know, normally I'm department head. She's my key. But on this particular job, someone else is department head. And
mm-hmm.
then she hired the two of us to work with
mm-hmm.
her. And so she said, you know, you two decide who's going to be key, who's going to be third. And so I
mm-hmm.
told my sister, you be key, and I'm going to be the third. You know, I'm going to enjoy
mm-hmm.
this a little bit, trying to be the
third.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's excited about it.
I'm excited about being the third.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit, and I'll share, you know, some of my opinion about it too, but talk a little bit about just knowing your place. When you've done it before, and you've been key or department head or whatever, you know, you've run your own show. Talk a little bit about how it is now that, you know, you're going to be day playing on this show. I'm going to be third on this movie. How
mm-hmm.
is it, like, what's the proper thing to do? Because I, you know, I've been department head, I've been key, you know, when I go onto this show, no, I'm not going to try to, you know, get into the department head's business or whatever happens on, you know, on the show. If it's something that the department head should handle or should be aware of, then I'm going to leave that to the department head to take care of, or I'm going to leave that to the key to inform her of certain things. I'm going to be the third.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not
mm-hmm.
to say that if no one else is around and I'm the only person around and I hear something that the department head should know about, I'm not saying that I'm not going to deal with the situation. I think the way I would handle it is let whatever the situation may be, whoever's coming to me about the situation, I would let them know that they need to take it to the department head instead of me trying to handle it because I'm the only person there. Like, I think it's important that people understand their roles, people understand their positions. I mean, I know we're all a team and we're all working together to you know, to make this project, but I don't like to see people who, like, sometimes it's hard to hire a department head as your third or as an additional because they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to do that. And I think that's what I'm getting at.
Wow, that's a loaded question that has several dimensions to it. I think the first thing in all of it, in any of it, is your pride has to go out the window.
Yes.
Your pride has
absolutely.
To go, your pride has to go out the window because this particular individual was hired as the department head. Or this department, or this person was hired as key, and that's it. What's so brilliant about this industry is that everyone gets a chance to play on all of those levels at some point.
Right.
So it's a level playing field, and at the end of the day, you're all getting the same check. Go in and do the job.
Absolutely.
Let the egos go out of the window. You know, I think we get in our own way because of egos, because we don't know how to play that position. Sometimes it's good to just fall back. Sometimes you need a break. You need a break. Fall back. It's okay. You're not any less of an artist if you're not the department head. You're not any less of a brilliant makeup artist if you're not leading the show. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
There's grace in that, but there's also grace from the department head's end as well. Because if you know that you've got someone who is your peer, usually we are peers. You know, I may be, you know, like, I'm coming from the music industry, and I've got all my awards and, you know, all the things that I've done and headed up and magazine department heads that I've been part of. So I come with a lot of things on the table already. Some people, somewhere in the back of their mind, it's just their insecurity that you may come in and try to take over the job.
Right.
That's what happens when you got journeymen who are peers. It happens. But this is where your pride has to be released. And knowing each person, you know, what they can do. I think hiring a team that is completely and totally effective makes the entire department look great.
Right.
To me, that's smart. If I know that I can't, if I'm not the big, huge, enormous MacGyver type special effects person. I know people who are. And if that's what's required for this particular job, in addition to what, you know, general makeup is, then you hire that person.
Right.
It's fine. Because the bigger picture is we are a team.
Right.
And once again, it goes back to the colleagues and having the respect and what the industry itself looks, the makeup artist industry looks like from the outsider's perspective. If a producer and director are calling for a makeup team, a makeup artist, this particular person, they know that they're going to bring a team that gets the job done. That's why you got people who are winning Oscars. any.
Right.
You know, because they understand
Absolutely.
The science of it.
Right.
There is a science to it, you know. And I've worked with amazing department heads, and I've been fine coming in base lane. I don't care. I'm happy
right.
to work. Okay?
Right.
I know who I am at the end of the day, because today I'm on this particular project, but tomorrow, you know, I may be doing the cover of Bazaar. So it really doesn't matter to me. Just as long as the work is there. I like to work. I'm a worker bee. And I also like to be stretched as an artist, because sometimes, you know, I think in this industry you get caught into this cycle of just doing pretty, pretty, pretty makeup and
right.
pretty, pretty, pretty face, that you're not challenged or stretched to do the complete antithesis of that.
Right.
Which may mean you're doing ugly makeup or the no makeup makeup look or, you know, special effects. You know, you're stretched when you come onto this side of the industry. And it's not, you know, you're not playing safe. To me, always doing pretty, pretty face is playing safe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm.
I mean, doesn't that get boring after a while anyway?
I would say yes, but, you know.
Right.
Somebody else may see it differently. And sometimes you get into your own style.
Yes.
You know, you're this stylist, and, you know, the exclusivity of that stylist. Shoot, at the end of the day, can you really paint? Like, are you an artist, or are you just that particular genre and style?
Right.
To me, I like to be broad, which is why I've always challenged myself. You know, nobody has to challenge me. I challenge myself. You know, I get into this space where I'm doing this great, beautiful makeup that's, you know, trend setting, and people, you know, for an entire era, I set a tone for an entire era, which is great, it's fantastic, but at the same time, I need to stretch myself to see what I could actually do.
Right.
So, all that to say, yeah, knowing your position, sometimes your position is to fall back,
mm-hmm.
You know, and let somebody else take lead.
Right.
You know, you be the passenger in the car this time.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? And don't tell the driver what to do.
Right. Because she's,
you know,
driving.
We may crash this piece up if you keep talking.
Exactly. You sit back and relax.
Sit
Enjoy
back
the ride.
And relax. Play with your iPad, you know. Watch some movies, eat some popcorn while I drive.
Or how about just do your job?
How about do your job? You know, it's like, to me, everybody... you know, I hear some people complaining sometimes, you know, a lot of complaining going on, and I lean back and I'm like, really? You're getting paid to do what you love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're here complaining.
Yeah.
It seems ungrateful to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just watch that kind of thing. I'm here to paint. However you want me to paint, you want me to paint big strokes or small strokes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
I'm getting paid to do what I love. It's amazing. Who does that? You've got people
right.
who are 9-to-5ers who wake up and they hate their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Hate it. Yeah,
and you
true.
Get to play on set and eat and sit in chairs and, you know, and you may go to an event or two. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Mm.
Well, listen, changing gears just a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about your blog.
Oh.
Tell everybody, for one, where they can find it.
Okay. The blog is called The Glam Squad Files. com. The Glam Squad Files. com is the way I like to see it is, you know, I talk about products, of course, you know, product reviews. It's, you know, it's not majorly for that, but I kind of like speaking to the artist in terms of situations and how to handle just, you know, what we do, shop talk. You know, you'll find the shop talk part of the blog in the menu bar. I haven't been writing a lot lately because I've been just uber busy. But the last piece that I wrote was called In My Chair, You're an Influencer. And we don't realize that particular topic. For me, I woke up one morning thinking about, you know, buying a set chair. How stupid is that? Like, you wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, you have to go to the bathroom, and you're thinking about set chairs. I need to get another set chair. You know, but it was deeper than that. You know, I went in deeper than that, and not so much about the chair, but the people who wind up sitting in my makeup chair and how influential our position really, really is. And the kind of people that we have to be to service people on a celebrity level, on an influential level. But we're influencers even before they are.
Right.
We influence them, or at least get them to think about certain things that they may not have. Because usually when you sit in the chair, that's like therapy.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, the blog is, you know, it's a multi-purpose. You know, I've got spotlights, artist spotlight, where I talk about the history of makeup, different artists who have paved the way for us as makeup artists in this industry. People who were movers and shakers, you know, it's, you kind of do your homework. You can get your homework done here.
Absolutely.
Tell me one of the things, what do you think is one of the biggest, because I, you know, I look at your blog and I see you talk about all kinds of things. Like you said, it's not just, you know, products. But listening to, you know, what you were talking about just earlier in the conversation, and then just looking at some of the topics that you've covered on your blog, what would you say is one of the biggest changes that you've noticed about the beauty industry, you know, since you started and up to now?
Technology.
And how has that affected you as an artist?
Technology is the biggest change.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is, you know, it runs the gamut from CGI to, you know, what we were talking about earlier with the Glam Squad. You've got all these apps that assist people in purchasing products, finding makeup artists, local makeup artists. You know, like Halloween is coming up. You know, I'm sure Glam Squad is going to be very busy.
Yeah.
You know, with people, you know, wanting to get their makeup done. Now, you and I, are we going to be able to do that kind of thing? I'm sorry, I'm on set today. So
right,
right.
You know, somebody's got to do it.
Right.
So I think the technology is what has changed the industry. I think technology in the sense that, you know, when we're filming now, we're doing 4K, 4 HD 4K now.
Mm-hmm.
The product, the cosmetic products themselves have changed to meet the needs of high def filming, be it photographic high def or motion picture video high def. So I think technology is the biggest change that this industry has seen.
Do you think that technology will continue to be one of the biggest changes in the industry, you know, going forward?
I do. I do. I think that it's going to get, you know, this is just a crazy prediction. I don't know that this is correct or not. But from what I could see of, you know, the way CGI makeup, and for those of you who don't know what the acronym CGI is, it's computer-generated image. The way I see it going, I mean, think about the Pirates of the Caribbean. One character was completely and totally CGI, the entire film. That wasn't makeup. It was computer-generated. So, you know, and normally that would have been done by a special effects makeup artist. But it was computer generated. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. Will it affect the industry? Yes, completely. I think that artists will be required to know more about not just makeup itself, but exoskeletal type things to create these computer-generated images and characters. So, you know, and there probably will be regular makeup happening as a basic kind of thing that computer generation will build on top of. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's where the future is. I could be wrong, you know, but I think that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to change. You know, makeup itself will not change per se, you know, but the way it's done will change.
Absolutely. It has to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Without our permission, by the way.
Right.
Mm.
And
it's like Napster changed the entire music industry.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? So before you were able to go into the store, you know, people would wait online for vinyl or CD, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People don't do that anymore. They just go to their Apple and they download it. Whatever song they want to.
Right. Not even the whole CD.
Let me ask you, CD.
Do you think, I know this is not a music conversation, but do you think that hurt the music business?
Oh, completely. It turned everybody on their heads because they didn't expect it. They didn't see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And people in advance were telling them that it was going to happen, but nobody believed it because it just
mm-hmm.
seemed so far-fetched. But at the time, you had to remember, when this was all coming about, people still had BlackBerries
mm-hmm.
and pagers and, do you know what I mean? So they were
mm-hmm.
like, what are you talking about? Apple computers didn't even fully come into play until the 90s. So, you know, and the way that Apple moves in terms of its technology, you know, that they changed the whole game. The technology is changing the way that we're even watching TV now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a smartphone, but now you have a smart TV. Who would have ever thought? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
So it's all changing, you know, without anybody's permission. It's just technology and the way things are and what people want in this generation. They want things immediately. They want to be able to have choices. They want to be able to have selection. So I think it's the same thing with makeup. As crazy
yeah.
as that sounds, you know, really? Now you have so many different brands out that are offering, you know, remember when the BB creams first came out? Well, now you don't
mm-hmm.
hear everybody talking about BB creams anymore because
not
we're
at
so
all.
Busy. You know, we're so busy worried about the Ultra K4
right.
HD, you know.
And our contouring palette.
Oh, my God, the contouring. Can we please put a pause on that video, Terry?
Yes, right.
Like, it is such a misconception. I was with my guy earlier today, and we were driving, and he looked at this woman that was standing there. He said, can you, look, I'm going to stop the car so you can talk to her because I can't take this. What is wrong with these women with these eyelashes out to here? And what's that stuff on the side of their face? Like, what is going on here?
They're watching too much reality TV.
And he actually wanted to pull the car over. I almost peed laughing. It was hilarious. But, you know, it's the misconception of what was meant for TV worn
right.
out in everyday streetwear.
Right.
It wasn't made for that.
Right.
In all honesty, you know, when this whole contour thing came out, it was strictly for stage.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know? So, but then again, here we go with evolution of makeup and concept and where it all sits. You know, because before, like I said, it was relegated to theater and celebrities. You know, who changed the whole game of the average woman wearing makeup was Max Factor, Maybelline. You know, makeup was only for celebrities and wealthy people in the 20s and 30s. It was not given to the average person because that was the Depression era.
Right.
So if you saw women who wore lipstick or mascara or, you know, eyeshadows and did their eyebrows and things, that was for film or they were very wealthy people.
Right. That's right.
So now look at it. Look at the evolution from that point to this point now. Everybody's got makeup. Anybody can buy it.
Anybody.
And feel like a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm. That's right.
Well, and Zynga,
yeah.
You have to get up in a few hours.
Oh boy, do I? Mm. That's one that I'm like, you know, half the time, what people don't realize is, and correct me if I'm wrong, we do a lot of schlepping.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You go from one place to the next, and you're having these big old makeup bags, and you got to carry this chair and that, and you know, a lot of it is schlepping, and that's a major part of what we do as well. You know, as freelance artists, you know, we're constantly on the move.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think exercise is a big thing that we, you know, we forget to talk about, you know, because as you go on in this business, your body starts to react differently. You know, your muscles, you don't want them to atrophy, so you need to have movement.
Right.
You know, for longevity in this business.
That's right.
Absolutely.
It's a lot to think about. You know, it's not just putting on a pretty face.
That's right.
No, it's not.
You know, it's not just putting on a pretty face. It's not just getting a check. It's not just getting your name, you know, in print. It's so much more. And I think with a lot of people, you know, I heard Roshaw last week. Oh, my God, he had me laughing. I love him. And he was saying a lot of true things, you know, like when you see people who are in the industry, they really don't have time to update websites and
right.
Instagram and, you know, like, we don't have time for that, you know?
Because like, you're working. You're too busy working.
Yeah, I have to be out of my house at 3 a.m. Like, I don't know when I'm going to get back in.
Right,
we're guaranteed to do an 8-hour day, but sometimes it's not 8 hours.
Right.
So
most of the time it's 14 or more.
You know, and then when do you get to do your life?
Right.
Your life.
Because listen,
on the weekend
if you're
sleeping half of it away.
Well, listen. Yes. If you have to come back the next day, you only have a 10-hour turnaround, and part of that is travel to and from and sleep. So there's no
exactly.
doing your life in between.
Exactly, and that's part of the sacrifice.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes when you ask me about, you know, knowing your position, hey, I'm
mm-hmm.
okay to day play.
Right.
Because
right.
you know what? I can do my life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And still make money.
If I'm, you know, doing 2 days or 3 days or even 4 days, you know.
Yeah.
I still
yeah.
have the opportunity to do my life, the things that I like to do on a personal level with, you know, in terms of my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, relationships are very important. And at the
mm-hmm.
same time, they can be sacrificed in this industry because
Absolutely.
Of the kind of work that we do.
Yep.
Mm.
You give so much of yourself that you really don't have time to give. You don't have anything left, actually, to give to anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Please. I mean, I was, you know, today I went out to church and I looked fabulous. But, you know, it's like, when do you get to do that? You can't
right.
do that during the week. Like tomorrow, I know I'm in sweat tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Not
mm-hmm.
literally that I'm wearing sweatpants or anything like that. But
right, right, yeah.
You know, your work gear. You
mm-hmm.
know, I'm not going to be wearing patent leather 3-inch pumps. Like, I love fashion, but I don't get to do it like that on that level when you're working.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yeah, we make a lot of sacrifices.
But it's all worth it.
But it is all worth it because you get to do what you love. You influence people. You are part of a big machine that we call communication, which
mm-hmm.
is film, television, music, fashion. It's all communication. And we're a part of it. It's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow is an early call for us too, but not as early as you. And tomorrow it's not like a working with the actor day, but tomorrow is a load in the trailer day.
Oh, God,
and sometimes sometimes that can take all day.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have to be kind of, we have some things that we need to do before we even get there, so we still have to be
I overstand.
Early.
I overstand.
So, this is good, though.
This is great.
Yeah. There's a lot of things you said that, you know, you have to go back and really think about.
Well, I think, you know, we're all of it leads back to us being artists, but also our business. This is a business at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how you handle yourself and how you present yourself and how you market yourself really sets you apart from just the average Joe.
Yes.
Right.
You know, because everybody thinks they're makeup artists now.
Right. And let me just say this, because just with you saying that, I'm thinking about when I was talking about the people who were complaining about the whole Glam Squad thing. And mm-hmm. and also, you know, I had a friend reach out to me about something that she said to someone on social media. You know, she said something in response to someone in social media. And I told her, I was like, oh, my God, I wish you had texted me before you sent that, you know, that you put that out there. But and so after I said that to her and I explained why, then she thought about it, and she kind of read my text like four or five times, and she thought about it, and she went out and she deleted what she had wrote. And the thing is, sometimes we can feel so strongly about something, and I'm not even going to say passionate. Sometimes we just feel so strongly about things, and you know, our opinions are so right regardless of what anybody else says. But sometimes we can kind of make a fool of ourselves on social media. You know, just the things that you're posting on Facebook and the things that you're, you know, commenting about on Periscope or whatever. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't have to have an opinion about everything. Sometimes it's good to just shut up. Because social media is going to ruin some careers if you keep it up. You know, it's like people, they just say anything on social media now, and they don't care. It's like you're trying to get to the next level in your career. You're trying to get to the next level. And this is what I told the young lady who texted me. You're trying to get to the next level in your career. You're trying to get to the next level, you know, financially. Why do you care what people say on your timeline? You know, certain things that you say to them, if you feel that strongly about certain things, send them a message in private. You don't have to blast them on your timeline. Because now that you're blasting them on your timeline, who looks stupid? You do.
It's crazy. Well, you know, here's another thing that is different about this industry is everybody wants to be famous.
Yes.
You know, and it's easy for you to get famous now, like on some stupid stuff.
Hearts on Periscope. Go ahead. Okay.
You know, like, what does that have to do with you being an excellent artist?
Absolutely nothing.
One girl, I walked into the store, and, you know, I purchased a large amount of items, and she was like, oh, my God, you're getting so much stuff. You know, what do you do, if you don't mind me asking? So, well, I'm a professional makeup artist. You know, I work in film and television. And she says, oh, my God, I want to do that. You know, really? And I said, well, yeah. And she says, oh, I want to be a famous makeup artist. And I was like, my jaw dropped for a second. I was like, you want to be a famous makeup artist? Like, good luck. Because, you know, that's... The way things are, you know, most people who get notoriety on any of this is because they've been at it for so long. You know, they put so many years into it. That's why you hear these names.
Or sometimes because
Well, some people who people think are famous, they're not necessarily famous, they're just popular. I think the ones you're talking about who's been in it for so long are famous. But then there are people out there who are just popular, and they may not have necessarily been in it for as long as some of the famous people, but, you know, they talk a good game. And, you know, they know how to toot their own horn, and people follow that. People like that.
Right. But what does that have to do with you being a great makeup artist?
Absolutely.
Either you're going to be famous or you're going to be a great makeup artist. Now,
well,
if you happen to be a great makeup artist, you may get famous.
Right.
But what is fame?
They don't care about being great. They just want to be known. And to me, people who are like that, to me, that's an issue. Like, really, what are you in this for? Like,
what are you in this for?
Something deeper going on that you have to want to be so famous and popular.
And I think that's when you have people who throw each other under the bus to get into position.
Yeah.
You've got people who are jockeying for position because they want to be famous more than they want to be a great makeup artist and represent the industry of makeup artistry. You know, we got in it because we love it. We were passionate about it. I wanted to do movies. I wanted to do music. I wanted to, you know, I love that. I love the idea of being a part of telling the story.
Right.
You know, it's like a film without a makeup artist. The director can only convey but so much. Without a makeup artist. But with a makeup artist, you get to tell the story so much better. It's so much more vivid to the viewer when the makeup is there. So, you know, having that as your first passion in opposition to being famous.
Right.
And I couldn't explain it to her because she was just starry-eyed at that moment. You know, oh, who have you worked with? Like, really? So if I tell you that, then what does that do for you, my love? Because I can you know, run off a list of people that I've worked with, but what does that do for you? Does that change how you feel about me?
Right.
The profession? What does that do for you?
You know, when people ask me that question, I think recently somebody asked me, oh, well, what, you know, what shows have you worked on that I would know? And it's like, as soon as they ask me that question, I draw a blank. Like, because I think instead of answering the question, I'm shocked at the question that they actually asked me, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know what you would know or would not know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I don't know you.
Right. And how about I'm working on a project right now that has not been released yet.
Right.
So would you know it?
Would you know it? Exactly.
It's not been released yet. it's interesting how this whole dynamic goes when you're in front of people who are not familiar with the industry or are familiar with the industry. I think that it's, you know, we all have to just be gracious in it.
That's right.
I think,
and
before
we go, let me say this really quickly. I remember years ago, you know, like some of my first few years in the business, I would see your name in magazines, you know, and knew nothing about you as far as how long you had been in the business or anything like that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I probably assumed that you were somebody that was older than me, like you had been, you know, in the business for, you know, a whole lot longer than what you were. You know, because of, like I said, because of the accomplishments, the Viva ad campaigns and the, you know, the work in the magazines and different things like that. And then
never knew that I would meet you on a film and television set. So that's one of the great things about film and television. You know, you get to meet artists from everywhere. That come into a town to work on a particular project. You didn't have to, I didn't have to live in New York to meet you. I met you in North Carolina. So, it's just a thought. It's just amazing to me how you can look back and see, where how far you've come in your career and what have you, and the things that, that you've contributed to this, to this industry. Earlier you talked about us in this show, but, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of you and your work and all the things that you've done. And, a lot of people really don't know. And I say that just to encourage people to, to take the time to really get to know, do your research, get to know some of the people that we bring on this show, get to know the people who, because, you've worked, you've done music and fashion all over the place, not just film and television. So, you were brought up in a little bit of everything, not just film and television. So I just say that, to say artists out there, get to really know the people that have kind of paved the way.
Well, that's, my personal influences were, people who were in the 80s.
Right.
Makeup artists in the 80s, they were, like, wow. And how many persons of color in the 80s were there? Now here's another dynamic. How many women in the industry at that time? So, I had influences. I was looking at the work, and the whole concept of celebrity makeup artists really started in the 70s and 80s. With Wei Bandy and Joey Mills. In fact, I did a spotlight on my blog because their work was everywhere, and they were the ones who got write-ups before, film and television were only male makeup artists, and it was set to a certain family, which was the Westmore family. Then you have people like Max Factor and those kinds of people, but they were all men, and they set the tone for what Hollywood looked like, and what people would ultimately, outside of Hollywood, the regular everyday person, would begin to look like. Lipstick was available because Max Factor put that out. Or Ben Nye, who was a special effects makeup artist, put a certain kind of makeup out and available to the general public. So the whole concept of celebrity makeup artists started in the late 70s and early 80s. With Wei Bandy and Joey Mills, because they were no longer behind the scenes. They were coming up front. Joey Mills wound up being, in the film Eyes of Laura Mars, which was in the 70s, but he played a major part in it as a makeup artist, doing makeup on the set and being filmed. Because that's what the film was about, was, fashion. So, I do think it's important for us to do the homework, because the makeup just didn't start with you in this era.
That is absolutely right.
We didn't begin it, and we're not going to end it. It's not going to end with us. Didn't begin with us. I mean, you think about the early Egyptians. They were the first cosmetologists.
Right? True.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Somebody was doing King Ramses' hair. And it was, their idea of photography was hieroglyphics on the wall. Do you know what I mean? So, it's evolved, and I think it's important that we know who's who, and it's lovely when you get that opportunity.
You know, I personally never set out to be famous. I just wanted to be a great makeup artist.
Right.
And truthfully, to keep a roof over my head.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, keep it real. Exactly.
Keep it 100.
That's right.
And what do you do during downtimes, you know? Like, there's downtimes in this industry.
Yeah.
Even for the biggest artists.
Even for the biggest artists.
My God. One person that I've worked with, do you know how many Emmys this woman has been nominated for? And she had a moment where she was like, you know, it was only a couple months. She was like, oh, my God, what am I doing? She was having a panic attack about work.
Right.
Now, this is somebody who's, like, hands down brilliant, but worried about, you know, that dynamic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go this time.
For real?
Yeah, because when you're out there at 3 a.m., you're not going to be mad at me.
No, I'm going to come to Atlanta, and I'm going to get both of you. I'm going to find a place to eat first, and then I'm going to come for you.
Oh, God.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
And I hope this wasn't a disappointment for your listeners.
Trust me. At the end of the week, I will let you know how many people listen to this show.
Oh, wonderful.
That will include tonight and then all of the people who come back and who, you know, who've missed the live version and come back and will hear the replay. And you will be
wonderful. I just wanted to quickly say that Tiffany said that the rates are listed online at glamsquad.com.
Yes, I did see that.
Frequently asked questions. Yeah.
Oh,
under
okay.
the payment tab. So if you wanted to see what the rates are, it's under the payment tab.
Okay. It'll probably be offensive to us, but okay.
Right. But hey, I mean, you know, we don't work with them and.
Nope.
I mean, we don't use their services, so.
That's right. Make your donuts, kids.
That's right.
Make your donuts.
Yeah.
There you go. And learn something in the process.
And you know, and not just that, but the artists that they're working with may not be on our level.
Yeah.
So if they're okay with taking less, then so be it.
Hey, do what you got to do. Everybody started from somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's right.
If nothing else, get the experience out of it. Learn how to deal with just the general public. You know what I mean? And you know, and don't complain about, you know, you having to drive, you know, a certain distance to get to people's homes. You chose to work with them. This is what you have to do. Nobody's going to pick you up in a limo. You have to get there on your own. You know what I mean?
And we had to fight to get a limo, by the way. Because how about you going home just here in New York, schlepping all these makeup cases, hair cases, up and down a flight of steps in the train station?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
At 4 a.m. How about that?
That's what I'm saying. People complain about the wrong stuff. You know, if they want to hear complaints, we can give them some legitimate complaints.
And I'm doing all exteriors tomorrow. How about that?
Oh.
What is it going to be like? 50 degrees, 40 degrees tomorrow? We're shooting all exteriors.
Yeah, and think about those times when we do all exteriors and the high is only 32 or 33.
Been there, done that, got that T-shirt.
You know, be glad you're going into somebody's house or hotel. or workplace.
I'll never forget my negative 11 degree night overnight on the wire.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Negative 11?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Hand
and they were shooting a scene.
That.
They were shooting a scene that was, like, supposed to be summertime, so I really felt for the actors standing out there in shorts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely feel for them. Definitely.
So,
at least we can hide out, you know, in Video Village.
I pretty much gave up for the night. I sat on the van. I can't do it. I can't do it.
The conditions. The conditions.
It's not as glamorous as people think.
No. When you're standing outside with a parka on, wearing body warmers.
Yeah, I mean, my whole problem
seriously,
is...
You know, like, I've seriously learned how to pack over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, from tour packing to packing for, you know, exterior shooting in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. You know, because you do have to have a different kind of wardrobe for all types of situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's part of your makeup kit as well.
Yeah, you're right. And my problem is, I don't care how much clothes I have on, when my hands and my feet get cold, it's over. We might as well wrap.
Because
I can't do anything else.
I'm looking for the martini, that's for sure. Did you say martini? Did you say wrap? Okay, because I'm the first one running out of the building, trust me.
And for those of you wondering, the martini is the last shot of the night, not necessarily just one drink. It's just the last shot of the night.
Yeah, we'll have to come back and do a show where we just share a lot of funny stories.
Yes, that would be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have to get Marietta Carter and Narcisse on that conversation.
Yes,
two island girls sharing stories. Oh, my God.
Yes. I love her.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. We'll plan a show where we can do that. That'll be fun.
Well, you know, here's a funny thing. I've been on set, on various sets, day playing, and I come in and everybody, you know, they're like, oh, my God, I'm the DJ. Because, you know, I bring my own tunes. And I've got everybody rocking out inside the trailer or in holding. And they're like, oh, my God, you've got such an amazing selection of music. I said, well, you know, I did come from the music industry. So I do have an inside track. But we've got stories and stories for days. This, you know, doing makeup is an amazing thing. It's a business. It's fun. You know, there's so many dynamics. So it is what you make of it.
That's true. Absolutely. Well, all right, Ladybug, we're going to let you go so that you can
get
a little bit of sleep. But
thanks again
for joining us. And we'll plan that funny story show for some time really, really soon.
Yes. Perhaps for the holidays.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. All right, so have a great day tomorrow and a wonderful week, my dear.
Thank you. You as well.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for tuning in, listening to us. I know we went over, but it's all good. Great information shared tonight. So everyone have a wonderful evening and have a beautiful and blessed week. Thanks, you guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.